Good Sunday morning to you, and welcome to this Lord's Day Bible study here on Jess FM. My name is Carol Devine. I'm the pastor of Providence Christian Church. We're located in Brandon Crossing. Since Providence and many of the churches around Jessamine County recently celebrated Pentecost, I thought it would be a great topic for our study today. The birthday of the church was on Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples who were gathered together after Jesus' death and resurrection. The story is found in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and if you have a Bible around, you might grab it and open it up. I don't know if any of you have been watching the TV series AD The Bible Continues on Sunday nights, but I have, and I have really been enjoying it. The story is about the early church, about those early followers of Christ. I like to sit with my Bible open in my lap as I watch the show, and during the commercials, I read the actual text. They have added some things that are not actually found in Scripture to the show, but they've stayed true to the spirit of the story found in the book of Acts. And they've also included some important aspects of the history that we don't have in the Bible, especially things pertaining to the Roman government. As I'm sure you know, the Roman government was very oppressive and very violent. And yet, even in such a harsh environment, the early church flourished, spreading and growing from Jerusalem to the surrounding towns and cities and to the ends of the earth. Under the threat of arrest, torture, and even death, the believers gathered to worship God, to have a full communion meal together, and to pray constantly. On the birthday of the church, that first Christian Pentecost, about 120 followers of Jesus were all gathered together in one room praying. And the Holy Spirit came in a deafening sound of rushing wind, looking like tongues of fire hovering in the room. The followers of Jesus at that moment were given the power to speak about God in different languages all at once. So the people who were out in the streets heard God's message in their own native tongue. And they were changed. Those people who were in the streets that day were changed forever. Scripture says that about 3,000 were added to the church. 3,000 of them were baptized because of the power of the Holy Spirit that day. Christianity, you might say, was on fire, and it spread and grew in power and in number. Yet 2,000 years later, and the church in America does not look or feel like the church of the first century. We're all very thankful that we're so blessed to live in relative peace with the freedom to worship. I am thankful that this morning I will not worship under the threat of arrest, torture, and killing. 2,000 years later, though, and the church in America, when we don't even have the threat of arrest and torture, doesn't look much like the church we find in Scripture. The church in America is not on fire. We are not growing in power or in number. A Pew Research study came out on May 12th, and it found that Catholics, mainline Protestants, and Orthodox Christian churches have declined by nearly 8 percentage points in the last 7 years. The drop in Christian affiliation is highest among our youngest adults, but it's also occurring among all Americans, young and old, blacks, whites, and Latinos, high school graduates and college graduates, women and men. And of those who still consider themselves to be Christian, whether they're Catholic or evangelical or Protestant, fundamentalist, Orthodox, fewer and fewer actually attend church regularly. Fewer and fewer Christians are involved in a church community. We sure could use a little of that Holy Spirit fire in the church today, we sure could use some of that wind blowing in our churches this morning. 2,000 years later, and the church looks and feels so very different than that first Pentecost. And I don't think we have to look like the early church, don't get me wrong, but there is something very important that we need to learn from it. The story of the early church in the book of Acts is a message to the church from the church. It's like a message in a bottle. It's to the church of 2015 from the church of the first century. It's a message we need to hear, and it's a message we need to share. Why come to church? Seriously, why? Why should we get up each and every Sunday and make our way to some church building? I've asked myself that question at various times in my life. Years ago, when my husband and I were first married and lived in a tiny town in Kentucky, we attended a tiny church there. And God bless him, but the pastor was not a good preacher or worship leader. And the pianist, sweet as she could be, played every hymn at a snail's pace, which made the congregation struggle to stay in tune. When we were members of that church, I had very young children, two very young boys, and I didn't want to go. I wanted to sleep in on Sunday morning and relax. I wanted to worship the Lord at home in my own way. But fortunately, I had a husband who prodded and encouraged, and so we went. And for the years that we lived in that tiny town in Kentucky, that tiny church was our family. They fed us. They celebrated with us. They gave us advice and encouragement. They loved us. And you know what else? They taught us the Bible. They challenged us spiritually. They provided opportunities for us to serve. They helped us deepen our faith. In one of his books, C.S. Lewis said, "I thought I could do it on my own by retiring to my rooms and reading theology, and I wouldn't go to the churches. But as I went on, I saw the great merit of it. I came up against different people of quite different outlooks and different education, and then gradually my conceit just began peeling off. I realized that the hymns, which were just sixth-rate music, were, nevertheless, being sung with devotion and benefit by an old saint in elastic side boots in the opposite pew. And then you realize that you aren't fit to clean those boots. It gets you out of your solitary conceit." You see, church is not meant to be all that in a bag of potato chips. Church is more than sermons and music, videos and PowerPoints. Church is community, tradition, mission, love, and so much more. Church is not a place. Church is a who. Who we worship and learn with. Who gives mutual support. Who comes together to accomplish God's mission. In gathering together as a church, Christians experience the love of God for God's people. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other." God has chosen the church to be God's instrument, not as the center of God's plan, that is Christ Jesus, but the church is central to God's plan. Church is not here for our entertainment, to make us feel good. We are more than consumers of whatever the church has to offer. The church is not about me. It is not about you. It is about us. We are the church. Not customers, but co-laborers in the name and love of Christ. We are disciples following a Savior who established a church, placed us in it with other people who need our presence and partnership, and who we need as well. People can be Christians and not go to church, sure, but they cannot be fully obedient Christians if they are not involved in a church community. My husband and I discovered in that tiny town in Kentucky, in that tiny church, that the preaching and singing does not have to be award-winning in order to praise and worship God. That the church does not have to have big screens and a praise band and moving videos in order to provide mutual support and encouragement. The church does not have to have the latest video series in order to nurture our spiritual growth and development. The church does not have to have 5 different Christian ed classes in order to learn something about the Bible. The church does not have to be big in order to provide accountability in our Christian walk. The church does not have to be in a big city, an urban setting, in order to offer opportunities to serve the world. We know, research has shown us, that children who grow up in a church worshiping with their families do better in about every area of life than those who do not. We know that adults do better dealing with the challenges of life when they have a church family. Church is good for us, for our families, and for our communities. The current trends reported by the Pew Research Foundation disturb me, not for God's sake, but for the world's sake. If people continue to leave the church in such high numbers, who will feed the hungry? Who will clothe the naked? Who will visit the prisoners? Who will house the homeless? Because right now, it is the church who does those things. The message of Jesus is for everyone. Repentance and forgiveness and love are offered today to all who call on the name of the Lord. God comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us and invites us into community. God calls us into community, but it is up to us to get up and go. It is up to us to invite and encourage others to go. Remember the Apostle Peter, Jesus' right-hand man? He publicly denied even knowing Jesus 3 times. And yet he became a bold, courageous, and enthusiastic evangelist. Remember all those early disciples and early Christians who came together in community to worship God? They did so under the threat of arrest, torture, and even death. Why attend church? Because if you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to worship and learn and serve as a part of a community. Because our purpose is to come together and serve and love, because it's good for us. Because we are reminded when we are together of God's perfect love and will. My prayer today is that if you do not have a church home, that you will commit to finding one. And that if you do have one, that you will invite at least one person to come with you. May we all feel God's power and peace. May we all know God's forgiveness and love. Amen.